Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you to give us wisdom and understanding today concerning the times that are upon us and what you can show us of how we can cooperate with you, Lord, and recognize and know and have faith because of the signs that we see. Thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, I think I'm going to call this Man-Child Judges and Preserves. And this first revelation speaks about the man-child coming for the bride in the midst of a tumult that is beginning now, you know. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on September the 4th, this 2020. And she said, I had this dream, and it was a beautiful day, and Eve and I were in a canoe and going through a river in a mountain area. And all of a sudden, water started rushing in behind us and to our left and right. And I believe that this is the battle between the left and the right, which the righteous are not partaking in, but by any kind of fleshly works, except that they are fighting this battle by spiritual warfare. Okay. And, of course, that's a rest to our flesh, right? Because it's just you're doing these things in the spirit. You're not getting caught up in the flesh. And the penalties that come because of that, he that takes the sword will die by the sword, so on and so forth. And she said, these waters were far from us, and we knew that they were flooding and overtaking places and people. Yes, and we can see that now. As a matter of fact, a flood of destruction coming on the land. And I believe the Lord has shown us that many will die. And the left will be judging apostates and faction in the church. And the right will ultimately win and take them down in a Red Sea flood experience, which we've been told for quite some time. Okay. I felt that the waters would not reach us, and we were calm and at peace. And this is true for those who are walking with the Lord in righteousness and truth. They will be preserved. Then directly in front of us and towards us came rushing water. Well, so they were preserved from the evil waters, now comes these rushing waters. And she said it was like a river going in the opposite direction, coming towards them, right? It quickly lifted our canoe up. And now I saw we were high on this mountain, as the mountain peaks were to our right and left, and close enough to touch. Well, I believe the mountains are opposing kingdoms of the Trump administration and the deep state. The rushing water that lifted them up above the battle around them is this text which we just received in our morning prayer meeting by faith at random, which says, He will come as a rushing stream. He will come as a rushing stream. And Kathleen got on the 8th, yesterday morning, Isaiah 59, 14 through 21. And her finger was on verse 17. Isaiah 59, 14 through 21 says, And justice is turned away backward, and righteousness standeth afar off. Wow, that really looks like the horizon out there right now, doesn't it? For truth is fallen in the street, Yes, I've never seen a larger group of liars than are out there right now, slanderers that are out there right now, both in the church and in the government and in the streets out there. And he goes on to say, truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, they're out there railing and in the streets and doing damage to other people's property and lives, and very wicked, very evil. Never seen anything like it. Can't speak the truth. Couldn't recognize the truth. Demon-possessed because of the false prophet mainstream media that's spoken every lie and brought injustice everywhere. And he goes on to say, and uprightness cannot enter in. That's right. I mean, anywhere uprightness sticks its head up, they make war on them. And verse 15 says, yea, truth is lacking. And he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. In other words, those who speak against the lies and the injustice become attacked by the wicked, right? By the leftists. They become victims. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Well, he's looking on right now, is he not? Is he not thinking this right now? Yes. So this could be pretty close here, you know. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm. Now we know who the arm of the Lord is. Is Jesus, according to Isaiah, who is coming by spirit and word in the man-child ministers. It goes on to say, and his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it upheld him. That's interesting. Why would it say him? I think here him includes those who abide in him. That's what I think. He's coming to save himself. Yes, his people. His people who are righteous and abiding in him. And verse 17. And that's where her finger landed. 17. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He's getting ready to make war, isn't he? And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing. Yes, vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. And was clad with zeal as a mantle. So he's zealously going to enforce righteousness and justice. Boy, that's badly needed, is it not? Well, you can see how much men have tried to do this. And I've always said that they were not going to be successful without the help of the Lord. And he has helped. Who has this great thing, this turning around of politics, you know? The Lord has done that. But he's also wanting to show that this can't be done by men, and he's going to bring it to pass to give glory to himself. Praise God. According to their deeds, according he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. Oh, if they only understood what's about to happen to them. To the islands he will repay recompense. And I've also noticed in the scriptures that islands doesn't have to be a little island. It can be a big island, you know, out there between the Atlantic and Pacific. The man-child body is going to take down the factions against the people, whether it's against the people in the church or the people in the government. just as David did when he was anointed. He went and took out the Edomites, didn't he? Well, history always repeats. And if you can find out who represents what and who, you'll understand what's going to happen in the future. And we've been pretty right about what's going on. We've been talking about this Antifa and the anarchists and Black Lives Matter. Well, 3 years ago, we warned that they were coming and that they were going to do what they're doing right now. And they're not through. But that's okay, because they will be through. And when they're through doing their job, they will be through. And you're looking at what's going to bring about their end. Even though men won't see these things in the heavens, men won't see these things, it will be happening on the earth. And he will be doing it, right? So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Yes, for he will come as a rushing stream. There it is. There's the rushing stream that was coming at them that lifted them up above the battle. Which the breath, or spirit, same word, of the Lord driveth. And a redeemer will come to Zion. Well, that's where he's coming, because that's where his temple is. It's in Zion. These are the spirit-filled people. Zion represents that. Righteous Zion, not apostate Zion, but righteous Zion. He will come to Zion. And that, of course, John was told in the book of Revelation that that was the bride. Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. That describes the bride too. Unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. That is Zion, the bride, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee. That's Jesus in the man-child body, who will teach the bride as Jesus did. And they in turn will bear much fruit as the disciples did. Remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus and his first fruits disciples? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Jesus was the man child then, and he's the man child now. The Son of God dwelling in the Son of Man. He made that plain. And my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I'd say that's bearing fruit. And you know, Jesus gave wisdom and discernment to the disciples, the first fruits disciples, whom John the Baptist called the bride. And they went out and brought a great revival to the world. Huh. And the text continues to speak of the bride's seed coming to her. I mean, we just talked about the seed and the seed's seed. You know, in other words, you pass it on. Everything that you preach is passed on to somebody else through them, right? There's a seed and there's a seed seed. And this is the people of God coming out of the beast captivity to their Jerusalem leadership. A restoration of the kingdom, which we've been talking about a lot. And here it is, the next verses, the next part of that same text, Isaiah 61 through 4. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Who is that light? Jesus is the light, and Jesus has come to the bride. And that's what it says. He came to Zion, right? Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now the light is shining forth from the bride, right? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Well, I don't guess I have to explain that. I mean, people, if anybody didn't believe it before, they ought to be believing it now, right? But the Lord will arise upon thee. The Lord will arise upon thee. Now we're talking about the Lord coming in a people, you know, and that's what we've been talking about. Okay. and his glory shall be seen upon thee. We just shared on this. The glory of the Lord shining forth from a phaneru or an epiphany. These are terms used in the Bible to point out that the Lord arising, his glory arising out of his people. And the nation shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Wow. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. There's the seed, and the seed's seed coming to the bride to restore the kingdom. As you know, the bride was Jerusalem, and the head of the bride, David, who was a type of the man-child, or Jesus, who sat in the throne of David in his day, was a type of the man-child, and now Jesus, in a corporate man-child, is ready to do the work all over the earth. And, Sue Farrell also got, on the 8th, this same day, by faith at random, Isaiah 24, 21 through 23. Listen. And we're not talking about what this represents physically the first time. We're talking about what this represents spiritually now. Okay. Isaiah 24, 21 through 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish the hosts of the high ones on high. Oh, praise the Lord. Drain the swamp, Father. Look at all the false leadership in the government, in the judicial system, seeking to take over the government with communism. Look at all this. And what does the Lord say? He will punish the hosts of the high ones on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, has he punished them? They've been caught. More than you know are about to go down. They've been caught, they've been summoned, and they are going down. And that's why they are fighting so furiously. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days shall they be visited. You know, I thought about the underground cities and tunnels that they are bringing the children out of and the women out of that were taken hostage by these people for their own gratuities. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to just stick them down there in the pit, right? Well, they're blowing a lot of it up, and that's where a lot of these earthquakes are coming from. If you don't know it, you will know it. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign in Mount Zion. Yes, the Lord. Well, remember, in our last text, he was coming to Mount Zion. He will reign in Mount Zion once again, because that's where his temple is. It's in Mount Zion. And that's where he ruled from. The throne of God was there. And in Jerusalem, and before his elders shall be glory. And then, Vanessa said, our canoe stood still, and Eve said, we would wait here until someone came to get us out. We were in no danger, and Eve was completely at peace to sit still. But I did not want to wait, and I thought I could climb on the rocks and get out. But I saw that they were slippery and realized she was right. I thought we may be waiting here for 3 days. You know, the most famous 3 days in this time in history is about to happen. I believe the 3 days represent the death, burial, and resurrection of the man-child body of reformers, because they are, everything they do is in parallel to what Jesus did. He lives in them, right? He should be living to some extent in all of us, right? 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? And, of course, they are caught up to the throne of authority to save the preserved people and to destroy the factions in the government and in the church. So wait here for 3 days. Here they are. They're held above the battle, protected, and waiting for someone to come and get them after 3 days. And that's what I think this is all talking about. And Vanessa said, then I woke up. And while I prayed about this dream, I heard the Lord say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, they were lifted up, were they not? They were upheld by the Lord, were they not? Amen. And I asked for a word by faith at random and received Psalm 77 and 16 on when the waters, quote unquote, when the waters, and in context 14 through 20, and it pretty well matches exactly what happened here. Psalm 77, 14 through 20. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. Well, he's certainly going to do that, isn't he? And thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. Thine arm. There's that arm again. How many times is that mentioned in the scripture? Not too many. Pretty good match, huh? The arm of the Lord. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah said. And the arm, of course, gives strength to the hand, as I've taught many times. And the hand represents God's people. And the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters, yes. They saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. Well, here you had the waters coming in, rushing in around the boat, desiring honestly to take out the bride, you know. But God intervened with his own water. And it goes on to say 17. 17 is the number of preservation through evil. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. So here's the Lord defending his people, saving his people. The voice of thy thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. And I don't know how many times in the Bible it's very clear of a visitation of the Lord with the earth trembling. And yet once more will I make to shake the heavens and the earth, right? Yes, and so we know that is coming. And that also happens. We know that the Lord comes in his man-child in the midst of earthquakes. I don't know if you've noticed, but just yesterday, or was it the day before, there was a lot of sixes around the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way was in the sea. In other words, he was treading through the midst of that water. And thy path in the great waters. Yep, there's two opposing forces there coming against one another. And the bride was being preserved. And thy footsteps were not known. No, they won't see the Lord doing this, but the Lord will be doing this. And thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses. Moses represented the man-child in his day who led the people out, who brought destruction, by the way, upon the Egyptians. And led the people out through the wilderness to the promised land. out of captivity to the promised land. And that's exactly what the man-child is going to do. And Aaron here. So, and this is a kind of a neat revelation. I mean, it's funny how all these things kind of come together, you know, so neatly. We call it testing reveals the man-child. Yes, and there's a lot of testing going on out there, and it will reveal the man-child. And this was given to Gabe Watson, but he just sent it to me, never told me about it. I've known him since beyond when he had this dream, which was back in 2011. And he just felt to send this to me. It's interesting. Yesterday. And we weren't talking about it or anything, you know. He just sent it. He said, in my dream, I found myself in classroom with other people all around me. It seemed like everybody was taking some kind of a test. You know, we're all being tested for whatever we're called to be in this coming day. We're being tested. That's right. It seemed like I was older, but for some reason I seemed to be back in a classroom taking a test. Well, he's older now. I couldn't remember any of the answers to this test. I was scribbling on a piece of paper and didn't seem like I knew much of what everybody else knew. They seemed to be taking the test with ease. Well, this test is not to show who are the worldly wise, but who are the holy and the heavenly wise. It's to show those who have been given grace by God. In 1 Corinthians 1, 23 through 31, he makes that pretty plain. But we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, and unto Gentiles foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what you need when you take a test, right? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For behold, your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, so that no flesh should glory before God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God. So he is our wisdom. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All of this has been given to us in this package of Jesus Christ. The gift of God, right? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So, Gabe went on to say, all of a sudden, David Eales came up and grabbed the sheet of paper out of my hands. I was so ashamed and embarrassed because of the scribbling that I had on the sheet of paper. I felt that I wasn't as good as other people in the class. I was bracing myself for the bad news. I had my head down, and somehow I could see the scene as a third person. And David looked at the piece of paper, and then he looked back at me. And then he looked at the piece of paper again, and then he looked back at me. And he said, you will be in the man-child ministry. I laughed when I got to the punchline here, sent it back to Gabe, and told him about it. you know, as the Lord has told me before, this ministry will come by grace. It's not coming by any super group or superman. You know, it is coming by grace. Now, when God's grace comes on a man, he becomes super. So, you know, expect great things from this man-child ministry. But the greatness is not from their power, it's from God's, right? And then I want to report to you the signs that I had just a few days ago on the 4th of the coming man-child, which was very obvious to me. In the night, it was very quiet. I was somewhat awake. It was very, very quiet. I couldn't hear a sound. And then suddenly, there was a downburst of wind and rain. I mean, suddenly. And I looked at the digital clock when I heard this, and it was 4:41. Of course, I have a digital clock that's kind of turned a little bit. When I look at it, if you look at the first number, it's actually 1:44. So I looked over there and I recognized what I've seen many times, 1:44. And then the rain stopped as sudden as it came. I'd never heard anything like that before. I mean, whoosh. And then it's over. Quiet again. And I knew, hey, this is a sign. Oh, no doubt about this is a sign from heaven. And it's coming with the latter rain. Right? The Lord is coming with the latter rain, which the Bible says. So what was the Lord saying to me? He's saying that our man-child Jesus is coming in his man-child body quickly. And he's been impressing me with that lately, that he's coming before people think he is. Hosea 6, 1 through 3 talks about his coming. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Oh, I tell you, there's a smiting going on out there. And after 2 days, will he revive us? And on the third day, which is where we are now, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is as sure as the morning. And are we not on the morning of the third day? Yes, we are. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. There it is. He will come like the latter rain. And boy, it was a downpour. We were in a building once, that every time I would preach on revival or on rain, a rain would hit the roof just furiously, and everybody could hear it, and everybody looked because I had just mentioned it, and this was happening over and over and over. And it was the Lord saying, you know, that he's coming with the latter rain. So, anyway, later on this same day, I was writing an email, and I wrote, the Lord wants me to seek him. He in me is the solution. That's the solution we all need, Jesus in us, right? But the Lord Jesus is coming in the Davids, too, to lead the people. And I'm not talking about physical Davids. They may not even have the name of David, but I'm just talking about people who spiritually represent the coming of the David ministry, which was over Jerusalem, a restoration of the kingdom. So I just said that. The Lord wants me to seek him. He in me is the solution. And I put a big smiley face right there. And then I sent the email, and then the Lord put it in me to look at the time on this email I had just sent, and it was 1:44. I thought, there it is again. I've been getting these 144s for, I don't know about you guys, but me, I've been getting them regularly, you know, and 441 too. I've even seen a 440, which means 1 minute till the man child. That's how it came to me, you know, or 143, which means 1 minute to the man child. And, or sometimes then I'd even start counting and it would be literally seconds. So I'm seeing that this is also a sign to me that it's about to happen. And so Rion, who didn't know about all this, sent me this email, and I'm calling it Man Child Preserved. He said, I received this word today. That's Rion Pinar. This word today by faith at random, and that was yesterday. The man-child anointing could be very near. That's what he says. And here's the word that he received. 2 Kings 11 and 10. And the priest delivered to the captains over hundreds the spears and the shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. Well, now this was right before the anointing happened. And this was to preserve the anointed one. Here it is in context. I'll read it to you. And the priest delivered to the captains over hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The context is 2 Kings 11, 1 through 21. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal, all of her grandchildren. Can you imagine the evil of this person? Yes, I can. In fact, I've seen that kind of anger, this evil that causes people to destroy their own families. But Jehoshabeah, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, even him and his nurse, and put them in the bedchamber. And they hid him from Athaliah so that he was not slain. Sound familiar? Yeah. Remember the men of Shechem slaying the sons of Gideon, all but one? Here it is again, you know. It's just as Jesus the man-child was hid from Herod, and all of his brothers were killed. You know, this is a repeated type. And today, the factious have killed, with their Athaliah witchcraft, the brothers of the man-child, to repeat history. And they are of the dragon, of course, who swallowed the brothers, who sought to swallow the man-child but failed, right? And still failed and will fail. So God is obviously showing us the same thing here. One man-child was preserved, and the rest were slain by this witchcraft woman, just like the faction is doing today. And verse 3, and he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. What an evil person. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the captains over hundreds of the Kerites and of the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord. And he made a covenant with them, and he took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. There he is, the man-child. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you shall come in on the Sabbath and shall be keepers of the watch of the king's house. and the third part in the, at the gate, Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house and be a barrier to protect them from who? Witchcraft lady, right? And the two companies of you, even all that go forth on the Sabbath, shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And you shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranks, let him be slain. And be ye with the king when he goeth out and when he cometh in. And the captains over hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men, those that were to come in on the Sabbath and those that were to go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priest delivered to the captains over hundreds the spears and the shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord of the Ertius. That's where Rion's finger landed. And this is an exhortation to us to guard the man-child king until his anointing so that the witchcraft cannot touch him. Yes, that's exactly what this is. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, along the altar and the house by the king round about. And now we're getting to the anointing here. So think of the closeness of the text that he got and the anointing. That means it's coming quickly. Then he brought out the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, long live the king. There it is. That's the next, very next step from the text he got. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the house of the Lord. Oh, she shouldn't have done that. And she looked, and behold, the king stood by the pillar, as the manner was, and the captains and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Well, she knows treason when she sees it, doesn't she? The factious always blame others for what they do. Always. You're seeing it out in the government right now. Everything they blame Trump for, they were doing. We've seen it in the church, too. Everything they've accused the man-child of or the Davids of, they're doing. That's what's happening. Verse 15, and Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, have her forth between the ranks, and him that followeth her slay with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. So they made way for her, and she went by the way of the horse's entry to the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people between the king also and the people. Wow. So that's quite a revival. Change in plans there, right? A revival starts with the coming of the Lord by spirit and word in the corporate body of the spiritual son of David, to repeat history, because history always repeats. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Amen. We believe it. No new thing under the sun. History repeats. It always repeats on a larger scale with more people. That's the way it happens. And that's what the Lord told me many years ago. It was a key, right, for me to understand. Verse 18, all the people of the land went to the house of Baal, representing the false Jesus, the false gospel churches, right? And break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priests appointed officers over the house of the Lord. And he took captains over hundreds, and the Kerites, and the guard, and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by way of the gate of the guard unto the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. And Athaliah they had slain with the sword at the king's house. And Jehoash was 7 years old when he began to reign. Yeah, remember Jehu and Jezebel? Sounds very, very similar, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then Missy had a revelation here, which I may share with you next time. Well, we thank you, Father, for your great plan and the preservation of the man-child and the preservation of the bride through the midst of this turmoil that's happening right now. And Lord, we know your will is being done. We know that you told us not to pray down this anarchy, because you were going to use it to drain the swamp in the church, basically speaking, and to bring disrepute to the wicked leadership of an apostate church, and to burn churches, which I had said 3 years ago was going to happen, and it has, and it's going to happen still more. And Lord, we know that you are a righteous God. You're a righteous judge. You've told us not to pray down this until it's time. And we know that when time does come, Cyrus will finish his job of conquering this Babylonish deep state evil system that's being revealed day by day now. And we thank you, Father, that you're bringing this down. It's the most corrupt and evil thing in the face of the earth. It's obvious that the devil had taken over the minds of men, and demon possessed them to where they had no pity on anybody, killed anybody that got in their way, started world wars to make money, slaughtered hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children to sacrifice them to Satan, and et cetera, et cetera. Lord, we thank you for doing this. It's just awesome, Lord. It is just awesome. We praise and we give thanks unto you that your mercy endureth forever, and that you are showing your mercy to the earth today. We certainly don't deserve this. We deserved what was headed at us when you overthrow the dominion of Obama and Jezebel. Lord, when you overthrew that, that's what we deserve. They were ready to conquer this country through their minions who they brought in here, and some are still here and are working now. But that's all part of what's going down by the right wing, by the patriots, as you know. He's going to bring that down. And, you know, Cyrus was completely effective in what he did in overthrowing that evil Babylonish system. And he is going to be very, very effective in our day. He's going to finish his job. A lot of people have said so many bad things about what's going to happen, prophesied many bad things, had dreams that they didn't understand, and said all these things. But we already know what the Lord is going to do. And it is so righteous. You know, each in their turn will be conquered. And what we're looking at now that's going to come down is the apostate religious system of so-called Christianity in America, who is respected to be at the head of this. Well, there were like Zedekiah, who was conquered by Babylon. And so Babylon, through their anarchy out there, I believe, is going to continue that job of conquering apostate Christianity, and especially the leadership. And let me say, I know some of the leadership. I know leadership of the faction, and I know leadership of the church, who are totally reprobate. They have been conquered. They have been conquered by the same demons that you see out there running these liberal cities and liberal states with no common sense, not defending their people, not doing the job of protecting their own people, instead protecting the rioters, these evil people, these demon-possessed people. I know that people can't understand how people could be so backward, but it's because they're demon-possessed. We've recognized these demons because of the faction thing that we've gone through. It takes their mind away. It takes their conscience away. And they're very greedy. They like to steal, and they like to fornicate. Both of those are happening in the deep state commonly. And so, and they're worshiping Satan. All both sides of those of this issue of the factions are worshiping Satan. And some would say, "Oh no, we're not." Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So, Lord, we thank you for this, and we thank you that we will be able to continue this a little bit later. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, to keep your people through this time that's coming, to move your people out of harm's way. We know you've got a great provision made for the coming tribulation, and that you're going to provide for your people. The wicked are doing their best to take down any teaching or revelation that will cause people to be preserved. They've worked very hard at that. They've murdered people. And thank you, Father, that you're bringing that swamp to the drain too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank you for your goodness and your love towards your people and the great things that you're going to do to provide for your people and this turnaround. And we know, Lord, that there are great so-called natural catastrophes coming upon the earth now. And Lord, it's better to be in the hands of the people that we are now than the hands of the people that we were under. Thank God for that, you know. So thank you, Lord, for being a preservation for your people. Some people, a leadership that cares more for your people. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, saints, we will do this again sometime. God bless you and keep you. And please be in prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on believing God. Pray down this faction in the church. Pray it down. And pray down the faction that's in the government. Pray it down. Pray it down. You have authority. Exercise your authority. The Lord has given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So exercise your authority. Nobody else can do it. You have faith. You can do this. And God is going to use you to do this. So thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.